And that's something that we want to all try to do as well. As you learn, apply what you're learning into your life. You'll be surprised at how applicable some of these things are if you take the time to reflect on them. Okay? Well, let's pray as we begin this afternoon. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that truly you are there with us in every test, in every situation we find ourselves in. And we pray that you help us to always emerge from every test of life, growing stronger, better, wiser, growing in our faith even further. We pray for wisdom to take time to comprehend your word today. And we pray that yet again you will bring a fresh word to us that would encourage and uplift our hearts. Pray and give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good. Well, let's take some time again to turn to God's word. Okay, and today we look at yet another idea, okay, that we can seek to apply. And it's going to be a bit of a challenge, but let's try to understand this, okay? Well, this is Luke chapter 9 now. Okay, we were at chapter 8, and then now we're at chapter 9, and beginning from verse 18, okay? Now, one of the things I want to help you to do is to try to see how you can understand the book of Luke as we read it, okay? Now, remember that Luke, right from the start, said that he wants to give to the person he was writing to an orderly account. And that's what we're seeing, okay? An orderly account. Now, how can we take time to understand some of these things? Now, let's take a look. And if we were to put a word to some of the chapters here, because there's so many things, and you can get all lost in the whole story. So let's just take some time to trace again, okay? Now, we started off from Luke chapter 4 about the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is something that's obvious that is there. Okay? So what about in terms of the disciples themselves? How did they progress? What was their program like? Okay, so let's take time to look at that. What is it? Now, they began with a calling from the Lord Jesus. Okay? So this is Luke chapter 5. Right? Along the way, they realize you can't just be called and that's it. As you are called to be a disciple, you then need to be taught. So there's teaching. Luke chapter 6, where he taught about the Beatitudes, talked about love, and so on and so forth. Okay? And then along the way, you can't just be taught. You also need to experience things for yourself. So there were some experiences that Jesus brought them through to help them to make sense of things. Okay? So there's calling, there's teaching, there's experiences. Okay? What else did they have? We need to know where you're at. So we go on to the next part of it where you talk about testing. So this is chapter 8. Okay? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And now we come to a certain point in time in chapter 9. Okay? So the remainder of chapter 8 really talks about, again here, the idea of faith and fear. If you were to just read on the later part of chapter 8, actually the two stories that are there is the same two principles of faith and fear. In other words, what he was trying to teach them, he will reinforce it again. Okay? So then we come to this idea now, and we read here in verse 18, right? And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "What did the crowd say that I am?" So they answered and said, "John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say, others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." So like Pochukang. Some say le, some say la, some say... Well, it's all here. And verse 20, he said to them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." Now, see, they've come to a certain point in their journey, okay, as disciples. And he now, this is what we call a confession of faith. In other words, they've come to a certain point. Now, if we were to examine this, is there in your notes? If you were to examine this, what is this confession? Well, there was a clarity about it all, isn't it? I mean, that's obvious. It was so clear. I mean, to them, it's, okay, what did the multitude say? Well, some say this, some say that, some say Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, some... But what about you? And they were very, very clear about the whole thing. There was no doubt. There was no question, there was no conditions, there was no qualifications. It's just that. It's just, you are the Christ. So there was a wonderful sense of clarity that was there in this confession, isn't it? Okay. What else? There was a wonderful sense of certainty. You are the Christ. That's it. That is what we believe. And of course, Peter answered on behalf of all of them. So they were able to come up to a certain point of time in faith, where their faith was clear, it was certain, and they were able to make a confession like that. Question is, how? How were they able to come up to a certain point? A question for you, how do you come to a point of certainty in your own faith? How do you get there? Is it a matter of going through the motions? Right? So, okay, come to know the Lord. Okay, then you are being taught as you are right now. You have some experiences along the way that help you to see God, see the Lord in a far more real way. You are tested along the way, right? And then, how do you come to this point of certainty in your faith? It's not that it's everything, but it's a good milestone to come to. How did they get there? Okay, so Luke, again here, records for us an orderly account, right, of what they were going through. And it is orderly. There is a step-by-step thing here, isn't it? Right? So how do we really come up to this point of time in faith? If I were to ask you that question, what would your answer be? How? Is it about being taught? Is it about the experience? Is it about test? What is it? Okay, what would your answer be? Anybody? Take some time to think. Actually, the answer is on the notes. But take some time to think about it. What is it? Actually, okay. Now, I want to challenge you with this thought this afternoon, okay? That there is an external part of it that is very, very obvious, okay? All of these things that we're looking at are very, very much... Oh, yeah. Let me change color. Hold on, huh? Sound better. All of these things that we're looking at is really, really very much, if we can say, this is the external part of it. Just because I go through the motions, does it mean that my faith has grown? Does it mean? Is it a purely external thing? So you come to church, you learn, you even go through some experiences that help you, testing along the way. Is that all there is to it? And I want to say to you, there's the external part, which is not unimportant. I'm not saying it's not important. But note this, okay, that there is an internal part that you must take a look at. This is what helped them to come to a certain level, okay? Now, again here, we need to flip, because Luke doesn't tell you everything. It just gives you an orderly account. That's his goal. He's not here to give you all the details. That's why we have to look at other Gospels to get a sense of what exactly was going on behind the scenes. Okay, so those of you who do science, what are you doing? You're looking at the microscope, right? On the surface, nothing. Look at the microscope. Oh, you can see the germs down there. Is that true? Can you see germs? Can you see bacteria? Okay, you can see bacteria. And you look at it even further. Okay, then you can see at an even deeper level. Okay, so that's what we're trying to do right now. So let's take a look. Let's look at Matthew 16. So hold Luke 9, and let's just turn over to Matthew 16. What is it? What is the insight that Jesus gave when they said this, right? So 16:13, Matthew 16:13. Now we read, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, okay, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? So the same question. Again, here, same response. Some say this, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, okay? Verse 15, he said, but who do you say that I am? So this is the same situation here, okay? It's the same situation. And he said, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, okay? And Jesus answered and said to him, and this is the insight that he's giving here. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Okay, and I want to say this to you this afternoon. There is an invisible, okay, internal work that's going on. And this is the place of God, our Father. You see, in all the things that we discuss about discipleship, about teaching, blah, 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 It's all on the surface, right? We see the program, which is what you're doing. On the surface, you come for this, you go like that, you learn lessons, everything. Look out for this. This is the, we call this, I gave three words. One is an internal idea. It's invisible. Why? Because it's happening inside. It's not visible outside exactly. It's happening inside. And the last word, intimate. That is how God works. Okay? And there is a part that is absolutely critical in the process of discipleship. And we call this God's part. Okay? And this is important. See, most people only look on the outside. So Luke presents us the external picture. This is what they all went through and this and that, the other thing. Wait a minute. There is an internal process that is going on as well. Invisible, but present. And this is the part of the Father. Okay? Here's the insight. Let's analyze this a little bit. Okay? No, we're looking at 16 verse 17. Okay? He says there, blessed are you, right? For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Okay. What is this idea of flesh and blood? Okay, let's explore this a little bit. What is this idea of flesh and blood? Okay, let's just explore this a little bit. Flesh and blood, what is it referring to? Well, very, very much, this idea of flesh and blood is really that which has been naturally given to you. Okay? So here, flesh and blood. I was right in red, right? Because flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, that which God has already naturally given to you. Okay? So, for example, sometimes the Lord Jesus would say to them, eyes, having eyes you do not see, having ears you do not hear, having a heart you do not understand. So these are the faculties that God has given to us already. Right? So we have eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to understand, mind to think. Right? So this is given to everybody, flesh and blood. God has already given us this aspect called flesh and blood. It's not unimportant. You cannot say, I don't want to think, I don't want to look, I don't want to go, just Lord, you just strike me, you reveal to me, oh, there's something. It doesn't work that way. This is necessary, but it's not enough. All the external things that we do is the flesh and blood part of it. Do you see? When you, as you listen, as you think, as you reflect, you ponder, eyes see, ears hear, heart understand. You know something? All of that has to do with the faculties that you are using to understand things, which is not unimportant. It's the starting point. But you know, this is merely the external part. There is an internal part which flesh and blood cannot give to you. Can you see the distinction? So Jesus is not saying that flesh and blood is not important. All he's saying is that there is one other element that you need to match the two. One part of it has to do with how you learn, which is all that which is physical, that which is natural, the faculties that have already been given to you. Okay, eyes, ears, heart, everything. This is the flesh and blood part of it. Now, the Lord is now saying there's a big difference. He says, but. Okay, he says, but. God, the Father. And this is the work of God he's going to reveal. You see, an understanding of who Jesus is, a certainty of faith that I really know who you are. I've come to a point where I really understand you. You know, for example, we speak of this idea of baptism. Okay, being able to come to a point of faith where you say, I really want to be identified with you. You ask, how do people come to that point? All go to church, all attend the services, all listen to the word of God, all. And yet, why is there a difference? Why is it that some have a greater certainty of faith and some still don't? Why is it that some keep growing? How is it that some never do? Watch, it's the internal. It's not flesh and blood. There is an internal, invisible, intimate aspect here at work. And this has to do with God. Right? Now this is important because the whole idea of this is that there is God who wants to be involved in your life. Let's say you're sorting out your faith. Let's say you're still trying to come to a point of certainty. You're still You're trying to figure it all out. What's all this all about? I want to say to you, don't leave God out of the picture. Don't try to understand by yourself, all by yourself. This is what you want to do. There is a God who can reveal. And He's going to reveal. The whole idea of reveal, He's going to uncover that which is previously hidden to you. He's going to open it up to you. Now, there is a God who is absolutely involved in this process of discipleship. What will God do? There's nothing that delights God more than to bring you to Christ. And you see, and he's here to do this work. But you see, our problem is we are only caught up with the externals. But we never quite get to the point where God really reveals Himself, Christ, to us. Can you see the challenge over here? And that's the thing. Don't leave God out of the picture. The first word, I just want to communicate to you two key words today. It's a lot, I know, to try to process, but I just want to communicate two key words to you today. Okay? The first thing is, look for this word. It's a hard word, but look for it. Okay? And this word is called revelation. Will God reveal who Christ is to you? And when God reveals Christ, it's not theoretical. It's no longer something that is just theoretical to you and things like that. It's not that way anymore. Now He's real. Now He's alive to you. Now you want to live for Him. Now that is called reveal. Can you see? So look for this whole idea of revelation. And God wants to do this work in our life. Is it possible? Yes. Is it possible in the context of the new covenant? Yes. He wants to do a work of revealing Christ to us. That's the internal part. Okay? So this is something that God wants to do. Don't leave God out of the picture of your life. The moment we do, we're missing something big. Okay? Now, the second word I want to communicate to you this afternoon is this word called relationship. In what context does God reveal Christ? What's the context? When you relate. When you relate to God, He begins to reveal Christ to you. That is the context of revelation. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. Lord, you strike me with, just let me understand. It doesn't work. Why? Because there's no relationship. Can you see? Now, let's turn to just one more text, just to try to square it together. Okay, let's look at look at John 6. Take a look at what is it that God really, really wants to do in our life. Take a look. 6:44. Okay, and this is insightful. Okay, what was the situation here? There were a whole lot of people that were going after Jesus, literally going after Him, because he fed the 5,000. So they wanted Him to do more miracles and to give them bread and whatever they wanted. They wanted all sorts of things from him. Why are you coming after me? He's asking them. I know you're coming after me because I can do all those things. Listen, this is what He said to them. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, take a look at this. No one can come to me. You see, it's not just the external. It's not just you responding. It's not. It's even to come to Christ in faith. You know what is that? That's God's part. He's drawing you to Himself. He's drawing you to Christ. Can you see how intimately God is involved? So here is God, and He is drawing us to Christ. So that's part of the whole relationship idea. He draws us to Christ, isn't it? That's how He relates. He draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you drawn to Christ? Okay, now we read on. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. God is constantly teaching. He teaches us about Christ. He teaches us all the time. You see? So, take a look here. And we read in verse 45, therefore, everyone who has heard and learned. Now, the third thing is your response. What is your response to God? You hear, you learn, and what do? You come to Christ. Can you see? So three things that we are looking at in the whole idea of discipleship that is here. Don't just look at the external. And I think that is a very, very common mistake that many of us make. A very, very common mistake. You know, a confession can be just words. A confession can be mere words. What is it that goes behind a true confession? It's God. Is God doing a special work in your life? And I ask you, is God doing a special work in your life? Is He? What kind of work is he doing? This is what delights God. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to reveal Christ to you. He wants to reveal His word to you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. That's what God wants to do. Is it a possibility? Yes. But reality? How many people actually experience these things? Not a whole lot. Why? There's no relationship there. You see, He's drawing people to Christ. And He's there at work, right? He draws. He teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that is doing this work behind the scenes. Our part is to take that time to really relate to God, right? So our response is to, as He draws, as He teaches, you know, I'm going to hear that word, I'm going to learn, and I'm going to come to Christ. That is how my faith grows. Okay, so I just want to help you to understand. Does the whole thing make sense? Yeah, I just want to help you to understand. Is it possible that what is it that God is really doing in your life? Don't leave God out of the picture. Okay, don't just be caught up with the physical aspects alone. Bring God into the picture. Relate to God. You see, revelation doesn't come, we cannot bring it about. It is God who must reveal, right? But what's our part? Relate to God. Really desire, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you teaching me? Are you further drawn to the person of Christ? Is He becoming even more real to you? Is He someone that really begins to stand out to you? Every time we hear the Lord's word, what's He doing? Is He drawing you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Every time you hear His teaching, do you know that? Every message you hear, every time you hear God's word, every time you read, God is trying to speak to you. Our part is, are we there? So we do our quiet time, but are you there? You're there, but are you there? You're present, but are you really, really there to hear, to learn, and to be drawn to Him all over again? You see, when do we bring God into the picture? When we jialat. And that's the problem. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when is it that we really seek God? You know what? Unfortunately, we seek Him in the greatest times of need, which is not wrong in itself. It's a good starting point. But if that's all there is to it, then what kind of relationship is there? Not a whole lot. I can tell you that. How much is He going to reveal? Not a whole lot as well. Can you see? So this is the internal part. Is it possible, theologically, in the New Covenant? Yes. In reality, it's up to you. How much of it you want to avail yourself to God, to the revelation that He can give. How much of it, that's up to us. My challenge to everybody, bring God into your life in a very definite way. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, "It is not flesh and blood, but God, my Heavenly Father. My Father in heaven." And that's who God is. He's a Father. He wants to relate. He wants to reveal. He is there, part of the process. But you know, for us, is to really involve Him in our life in the most active way possible. Let me ask you, for example, this week, how many of you really sought to relate to God? How many? Or was it caught up? Caught up with work, caught up with things, and every day we go to God, it's just, "Lord, you just help me, Lord, you just help me." What was your week like? Did you relate? You see, when do we relate? When really, "Lord, please forgive me," then we relate. Why does it have to be that way? Why don't we bring God in? You see, so when even as Jesus trains them, along the way, He has to open up a new thought for them. Wait, There's all these things that you're going through. They even served, which they did in Luke chapter 9. They had exposure to serving. And then he stops them and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wonderful. Watch this thing here. Here's a possibility to consider. God is working in your life. God is speaking to your heart. That's why you can come to a certain level of faith in the first place. Encouragement. Keep on relating to God. Open yourself to God all the more. Learn how to listen to Him. And you will find that you are always drawn to Christ. You see, at the end of John 6, all those people who wanted to follow Christ, what happened to them? 666. They all turned away. That's how you remember, 666. They all turned away from Christ and walked with Him no more. And then Jesus asked the disciples, do you also want to go away? And what did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And he goes on to say, and we have come to know and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confession. Do you see that? You see the distinction again? Those who are just follow and just go through with emotions, walk away. But those whom the Father is working in, they're there. Even them, among the 12, there was Judas Iscariot. It can be just words, and it doesn't turn out very much. You end up betraying. Or the Father is really working in you. On the surface, you can't see. But what's the reality? This is where God comes into our life in a very, very wonderful way. Okay, I want to encourage you. Bring God into the picture of your life. Don't leave Him out. Relate to God. He is trying to speak to your heart. He is trying to help you to learn things. Don't just go through with things. Don't. Bring God into your life in a very wonderful way. Well, this week, it was a real challenging week for me. We have these tutorials as well, these group meetings. So we have to set up meetings with people all over the world. There's one person in Japan, one in Korea. And we have to find a common time. And then some of them, there's one person in Italy. And then, wow, the time zone and all that is crazy. You got to plan everything. It was quite a hectic week and lots of readings to do. And then in the midst of everything, again here, the sense of stress and everything would just come. When I read this and I began to study this so much more, I just asked myself, where's God in the whole picture of your life? Are you drawn to Christ so much more? As He teaches, do you hear? Do you learn? Where is God in your life? You see, this is the invisible part. Nobody is going to check up on that. You don't come for YPG every day. Why? You don't spend time with God. Nobody is going to ask you. This is the invisible, internal part. But you know something? It's not only important, it's extremely significant. It's critical. And this is the critical part that helps us to grow to a certain level of faith. Don't neglect this. Okay, bring God into your life. John 6, 44, 45. You're drawn to Christ, right? He will teach. And what are you learning? Do you hear? Do you learn? And if you do, I tell you, what is your response? Come to Christ. Isn't that that's what it says? 6:44. 6:45. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. That's what will happen at the end of the day. He will draw you to the person of Christ, and you will find yourself growing in faith, certainty, clarity, everything, all the time. Look for this, okay? Look for these internal things. Don't just look at the outside. Look for the inside things. What God is really doing in your heart and in your life. And bring God in a very, very definite way. How do we do these things? Set aside time. 10 minutes in the morning is not hard to set aside. 15 minutes in the morning for prayer, to spend time with the Lord, to memorize the Lord's word, is not impossible. It's up to you to do it. Time with the Lord. Set aside. Don't just go through with things. Find your grounding. Find time with the Lord each day, every day. And you're going to see Him work in your life in a very, very definite way. Okay? Try. Something to try. Something for me to try. Something for you to try as well. Okay? Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to ask you to forgive us. That even though you are always seeking to speak to our heart, always seeking to reveal things about Christ, and yet we're not there. And because we are not there,
we end up with a faith that just isn't as strong, as certain as it should be. Father, we pray that you forgive us. Help us to realize the possibility of having you reveal things to us when we choose to relate to you as we ought. Teach us, Lord, how we can respond as a result. Help us to be all the more drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to find ourselves learning and growing all the time. We pray and ask that you would truly speak to our heart. Help us to come back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's give the offering.